Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for these that have come tonight. We pray your blessing on your word to our hearts. You've never promised to bless the words of man. But Lord, your word, you've said, will not return unto you void. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I pray that as we take a different approach in our service tonight to presenting the truth, I pray that you might get all the glory and honor, and may your spirit speak to our hearts those words of encouragement and strength. In your name I pray, amen. Many of you know that it's been my practice for I don't even know how many years now to the days that I am in my office, I read whatever the proverb of the day is. Today is what day of the month? It is second, so you would read Proverbs 2. Then you go to the book of Psalms and you read Psalm 2. And there are 150 Psalms, and there's usually, let's say, 30 days in a month. So you do the math. You need to read 5 a day, and you'll get through the book of Psalms in a month's time. So today I would have been working in my office, read Psalm 2, and then you add 30 to it. 2, 32, 62, 92, 122. I wish I could take credit for that idea. It's not something that was original with me. It's something, honestly, that I heard about years and years ago, way back when we used to go to the basic youth conflicts, and Mr. Bill Gothard was the teacher, and he was the one that actually talked about that plan. I don't know for how many years I have been doing that. I have been doing it so many that now when I come into my office, even on a Saturday when maybe I just have a little bit more to do to finish up, my temptation is, well, I'm not really here for a full work day today. I'm just going to be here a little while. Maybe, you've already read your portion to get through the scripture in a year's time. Want to forget it today? Nah, I don't want to forget it. So many times, even those times when I'm not in for a full work day, I have discovered the blessings. Now, okay. You all knew what was happening. I didn't. That flew the coop, didn't it? Anyway, having said that, I want to do something. Can we do something different tonight? Would that be okay with anybody? I want our time tonight to be something meaningful to you. But in all honesty, it's going to be different. If you're looking for an outline, throw your papers away. There is not going to be an outline tonight. But just yesterday, and the date was what? The first. As I sat in my office, and I went through the five, I had already read the proverb for the day, and I read the five Psalms for yesterday, 131, 61, 91, 121. It just struck me when I came to the end of those, the common thread that's in those five Psalms. Now, how many times, how many first day of the month have I sat in my office and read those over the years? I can't say. I don't know. I don't ever recall being impressed in my heart with the truths that I was in my reading yesterday. And so what are we going to do this evening? I want to take you through those five psalms this evening, and I want us to just look at the subject of our security in the Lord. Security on all sides is your title there, Andrew. But as I was reading through these, I realized, wow, here it is again. Here it is again in this psalm. And what I want, well, why are we wanting to do this? I want to encourage you. If I can encourage you to find a way to get into the Word that makes the Word more helpful, more personal to you, that's what this is about. And it's my prayer that the Lord would just take His Word and encourage you with it. So, having said that, where do we begin? Psalm 1. I was interested to listen to Jonathan this morning. And Jonathan, and here again, I was thinking, you know, some are going to be saying, Jonathan just talked about this morning. That's the preparation of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's what's going on there. How come Jonathan picked Psalm 1 this morning and talked about it? Because the Lord knew I was going to be looking at it again this evening. And we're not going to be talking about the same things. As I suggested, if you're looking for outlines, if you're going to be thinking of some notes, well, you jot down what the Holy Spirit prompts you about. But I want us to just notice in Psalm 1, and of course the first three verses have to do with the godly person. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In the first two verses, we notice the responsibility of man. God does not make us refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God does not grab us by the nape of the neck and say, "You don't stand in the way of the sinners, nor do you sit in the seat of the scornful." That's something that we personally choose to do or not to do. Correct? Correct. If I do my part, and if I not only avoid that which I know is I ought not to be involved in, but you know, we've heard the principle, you take away something, you only create a what? You create a vacuum unless you replace it with something. And here's that principle. You stay away from the wrong influences and you put in its place the delight in the law of the Lord. God doesn't make you or me do that. God, you don't wake up in the morning and all of a sudden discover that God throws a Bible in your lap as soon as you get your bearings and you've had your first cup of coffee. If a Bible is ever going to get in your lap, how's it going to get there? You have to make the choice. And here's the one that delights. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The first two verses, when man does his part, now we see what God does. And here's where we find the security. Notice there is provision. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When one gives God the right place in their life, one stays away from that which is harmful, that which is ungodly, that which is unchristlike, and they put in it, they draw unto the Lord. They don't just talk about him, but they let him speak to their own hearts through his word. They're going to discover, just like a tree that doesn't have to worry about drought, like the tree that's planted by the... That's what their life is going to be like. Do you know what is ahead for you? How many of you know what's coming tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? We say we wish we would. We wish we did. I am so thankful God in his goodness does not let me know what's even going to happen tomorrow or next week. I mean, I've got a surgery scheduled a month from today. That's about as far as, and that's Lord willing, weather permitting. Whether or not I have that surgery, that's about as far ahead as I can contemplate. I'd be scared to death to get up in the morning if God said, let me tell you what's coming tomorrow. Let me tell you what's going to happen day after tomorrow. Oh, you just wait. Wait till you see everything go against you a week ago, a week from Monday. It's going to be a doozy. You just wait. Aren't you glad we don't know? We don't have to know. And this is the beauty of our security in the Lord in Psalm 1. As I do my part, verses 1 and 2, I can trust God to do his part, verse 3. I'll be just like a tree planted by the river. Not only am I going to have water when I need it, but that there's going to be health. There's going to be growth. There's going to be fruitfulness. Because it says that tree that's planted by the river is going to bring forth fruit in its season. I can't produce spiritual fruit in my life. Can you? Not really. What we see here is the principle throughout Scripture. When we do our part and we look to the Lord, God does his part, and who produces the fruit? God does. What are those things? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, kindness, something like that. What are those called? The fruit of the Spirit. When I have given God the opportunity, guess what? He's going to do his part. There will be provision. There will be fruitfulness. It tells us here, the leaf will not wither. There's going to be unending supply. People look at individuals and they say, you know, I just don't know how you can make it. I don't know how you can keep on going. You know, if something like that happened to me, if I was facing what you are facing, I'd be a basket case. You know what the answer is here in verse 1? It's whom? It's the Lord. The leaf won't wither, come what may. When we are in the place that we ought to be with the Lord, he's going to see to it that we'll have what it takes, the sustaining grace for each trial that comes our way. And then there will be great value in what we do. I try to avoid the word success. We know that there is so much today in quote-unquote, did I get that right, dear? She's trying to help me learn the difference and the proper way. Sometimes I say things are in parenthesis, and she says it's not parenthesis, it's in quotes. Even a preacher, 68 years old, still gets English lessons. That's all right. That's all right. I need it. I need them. I hate to use the word success because there are so many churches and quote-unquote Christian organizations that are so success-oriented and so prosperous-oriented. I hate to use that. So I've just said, look at how God makes the life of great value. Whatsoever that one does shall prosper. The life will count. And who gets all the glory? God does. Well, that's Psalm 1. We're not even going to waste our time on the ungodly who has no interest in the things of the Lord. I read the whole psalm, but I've just picked out from these five psalms that which was a common thread. So let's rush to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And here we discover in verses 1 through 5, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now that's the same, you don't find that word there in Psalm 1, but that's what the godly man has done in Psalm 1. He's avoided that which is evil, that which is going to pull him down spiritually. And he has drawn close to the Lord. He's looked in his word. He's demonstrating his trust is in the Lord. And here we see it here. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. Security on all sides. You, God, be my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lord, pull me out of the net that they have privily or secretly. They've laid it secretly for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. These are words that even our Lord used on the cross. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So we see in those first five verses, he's demonstrating, he's looking to the Lord, he's trusting in the Lord, he's counting on the Lord. Now, in verses 8 through 13, guess what comes? What do you find in verses 18? At verse 8 through 13, you're going to find trouble. Trouble came to the psalmist. We're not going to take the time to look at it, but we find that he mentions a lot of trouble that. You mean even when someone is trusting in the Lord, there's going to be trouble? Do dogs bark? Just because a person is trusting in the Lord, that is to teach and preach that when one trusts in the Lord, they're going to have a trouble-free life. I don't know what perversion they're reading, but they're not reading a true version of God's word, because God's never promised that we're going to have a trouble-free existence. In fact, our Lord in the New Testament promised his followers, in me you will have trouble. If you take up my cross, you take up your cross and follow me, if you identify yourself with me, the Lord said, I guarantee you, you're going to have persecution and problems. So, just because the psalmist has expressed his trust in verses 1 through 5, it's no surprise that the trouble came, verses 8 through 13. But, and even in verse 14, he says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. But I trusted. but I trusted. Yes, I trusted, but the trouble came. And in verses 14 through 25, he kind of continues that. But notice verse 21 through 24, how the psalmist concludes this, realizing that God will not fail him, forsake him, but instead God is going to care for him. And here again, common thread, secure on all sides. Look at verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from thine eyes. It seemed like with all this trouble that maybe you had forgotten me, Lord, and maybe you weren't going to care for me. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto you. And then notice the security. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord does what, people? He preserveth the faithful, and he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Yes, he's going to take care of his own, and he's going to give it to the proud one big time for his sin. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. You can count on him. Here's security at every turn. We've seen it in Psalm 1. We see it in Psalm 31. Let's move on to Psalm 61. As we continue reading through and see what's here for us. Once again, verses 1 through 4, he's declaring his trust. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer from the end of the earth. Will I cry unto thee? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There's two ways you can read that verse. It depends on where you put the emphasis in it. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Or you can read, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take your pick. Which one is true? How about both? The great truth, either way, wherever you put the emphasis. For thou hast been a shelter for me. That's why he's counting on the Lord to lead him to the rock. That's why he's crying unto the Lord when his heart is overwhelmed. Lord, you've proven yourself true. I know I can trust you. You've been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert or the shelter of your wings, Selah. He is declaring his trust. And then in verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And then he talks about even preservation. What's verse 5? Here is the blessed realization that God will not fail him. God isn't going to fail me. I'm trusting in you. I'm going to just count on you to be my security. And he said in verse 5, I know you've heard me, and you've given me the heritage of those that fear your name, that trust in you. And the heritage of those that trust in the Lord is what? Defeat, destruction, failure? No. The heritage of those that trust in the Lord is God provides, God protects, God is near, God is working in their heart and in their life. And he says, here it is. I see it. My trust is in you, and I am counting on you. Pipe dreams? Grabbing at smoke out there? I don't think so. What we see is, once again, evidence of the fact that we can count on God. Well, let's move on. From 61, do we jump to 91? And which verse are you going to use in this psalm, Pastor? How about 16 of them? Let's just look at these verses, and having caught a glimpse of what we're doing tonight, just listen. Just let the Spirit speak to your heart as you realize, wow, look at the security. Look at how God takes care of His own. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Can you say that? Is He your refuge? Is He your trust? If He is, then what can you expect in verse 3? Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. We've talked about this before. Is this telling us, is this suggesting us that our God is a bird with feathers and wings? No. Why do we find the psalmist using words like this? To put word pictures in our minds, to help us understand. We all understand, don't we, how a mother bird shelters its young. a mother chick. As the chicks are out scratching for something to eat, and the mother hen senses there's danger, and she gives the warning signal, and the chicks know it. They know the sound of mom's voice. And they come running, and what does mom do? She hides them. She protects them. Well, that's the picture the psalmist is using here. See what we're discovering about the theme of in these psalms, there is security on all sides. His truth, excuse me, verse 4, shall be your shield. His truth shall be your shield. Satan throws fiery darts. Satan would love to throw the dart your way that would cause you to doubt certain things. You know, when Satan throws those doubts, the answer to that dart is not, well, I think, maybe I'll ask my uncle. He's a pretty smart guy. He probably can help me. No, when the dart has come our way, what do we have to turn to? The truth. We go to the Word, and the truth dispels that which is false. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, or your armor, that which you put around you. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Here now we see we don't have to be afraid. Remember, we talked a few moments ago. Aren't you glad we don't know what's coming next week or next month? Well, God knows. We don't have to be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies. It doesn't matter if we are one of his own and we are trusting him. That's what the psalmist is saying. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. But, you know, there may be people dropping left and right all around you. But he said, because your trust is in the Lord, it's not going to come to you. There's your tree, Psalm 1. Leaf will not wither. It doesn't matter what comes. God takes care of his own. Only with thine eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have, why? Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You say, but Pastor, sounds like this is saying no trouble's ever going to come to you. The truth is, no trouble will ever come to you that you will have to face alone, and no trouble will ever come to you that it is not God's will to be right there with you as you face that trouble. And that's what we see here. He's going to give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest they dash their feet against the stone. Once again, we think of these with our Lord. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. When God is protecting you and me, we don't have to worry about what might happen to me. Nothing can happen unless God says it's okay. It's okay for that to harm you, for that to affect you. God cares for all of us. Security on all sides. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he's going to call upon me and I will answer him. The Lord is speaking now in verse 14 and 15. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The entire psalm overflowing with testimony of God's security on all sides, which leaves us Psalm 121. We turn there to Psalm 121 and we discover these words in verses 2 through 8. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The assurance what? That God takes care of whom? His own. Now, isn't that good? When you stop to realize, wow, we flew through 5 psalms this evening, and in every one of them, this blessed truth, the security for the believer, the security for the child of God, the fact that I can count on God. It's my prayer that God will use His Word tonight to encourage you. It's my prayer that you're going to be able to take something home this evening, something you can get your hands on and look at again and say, wow, that was something. Well, guess what? Today's the 2nd. 2, 32, 62, 92, 122. Tomorrow's the 3rd, and so on. Why don't you try it and see what God has for you? I said we're doing something different. We're going to close with a song. I need my wife to come back up to the piano. You take your songbooks to number 177.